This is the way the world ends. This is the way the world ends. This is the way the world ends. Not with a bang, but with a whimper. You may have recognized that quote from a recent episode of Mad Men on AMC. But it originates from a poem by T.S. Eliot written in 1925 called The Hollow Men. We are the hollow men. What does he mean to say when he says that the world will end not with a bang, but with a whimper? 1925 is too early for there to be fear of nuclear explosions. One literary critic, I don't remember who it was off the top of my head, but someone opined that Eliot's ending is actually hopeful, that the whimper he refers to is supposed to be the sound of a cooing newborn baby. I'll tell you what I think it means. I had a parishioner named Dino. Dino was a swarthy Mexican-American man who worked hard at his white-collar job in Pittsburgh, who loved his family, and was, on occasion, really nice to his pastor. Dino's family were in charge of the annual Easter morning breakfast. You know, it was the usual watery scrambled eggs and paper-thin strips of bacon, but not for me. For me, Dino made homemade salsa with the eggs and put a generous side of chorizo sausage next to them. Dino was a terrific guy. He fought in the Vietnam War, and to his wife and his kids and to me and to everyone who knew him, Dino was heroic. One gorgeous afternoon in late spring, right around Easter, Dino and his wife were at the Home Depot loading up on topsoil and other garden supplies. And as they were loading their trunk, his wife, Linda, recalled that she'd seen some African violets by the counter, and so she just dashed back inside to pick one up. And when she got back to the car, Dino was lying on the pavement, blue in the face and very dead. My friend Dino should have gone in a blaze of glory, but instead he collapsed alone in a parking lot holding a 50-pound bag of manure. True story. This is the way the world ends. Not with a bang, but with a whimper. One perennial theme for popular American movies seems to be the end of the world. People just love this stuff. You have the opportunity as seminarians and pastors and future pastors to teach about the end times, the last things, because people are abuzz with the subject, with much confusion. Now, there are two films current that are getting lots of attention. One is 2012, based on the new agey look at ancient Mayan calendars. It's a bunch of hokum, but people are watching it and talking about it. And so the Discovery Channel is doing things about the Mayans and their predictions. But the other big film stars Viggo Mortensen, and it's called The Road. And I expect it will be a very bleak film based on the very bleak novel by the very bleak writer, Cormac McCarthy. But that novel won the Pulitzer Prize for Literature in 2006, so don't ignore it. And McCarthy's, one of his other books, No Country for Old Men, was made into a film that won the Oscar for Best Picture some time ago. And it is infused with the sort of nihilism that even makes nihilists want to go look at photographs of fuzzy kittens to recover. A reviewer writing for Entertainment Weekly said, here's a tip. If you only see one austerely hopeless movie this year about a father and son wandering through a junk-strewn post-apocalyptic wilderness as they struggle to fight off demons of fear, madness, starvation, not to mention roving bands of cannibalistic killers, then by all means, make that movie The Road. Sometimes the end of man is suggested to be caused by ourselves, by climate change, global warming, the deforestation of the polar ice caps, or some such. Other times, the end is the result of a plague or a natural disaster. But the real end will come about, to use the terminology of the insurance companies, as an act of God. For there is a day coming, a specific day, a day as real and certain as today, when God will punish the wicked and reward the righteous. Woody Allen once said, "I'm not afraid to die, I just don't want to be there when it happens." Well, guess what? The latest news from the great scientific geniuses of our time is this: everybody dies. You, like me, are on a time limit. Sorry, Woody, but you probably will be present at your own death. There may not be anyone else, but the one man that I know who will be at my death is me. You can't phone in well that day. You can't avoid the angel by traveling incognito. See, you will be present at your own death, and it will happen either with a bang or a whimper. Now, here's a hymn that some of your parishioners know by heart. Christ, whose glory fills the skies, Christ, the true and only light, Son of righteousness, arise, triumph o'er the shades of night. But now here's a line from another song that many of your parishioners also know by heart. It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine. From the pop song by R.E.M. Many will say, it's the end of the world and I feel fine. It concerns me little. Death concerns me little. And that is the case should concern you much. No preacher worth his salt enjoys preaching about God's anger. God does not delight in the death of the wicked. Malachi had a most unenviable calling. It stinks to be the bearer of bad news, but you do no one any favors by avoiding it. But for you who fear my name, God says, the Son of Righteousness, that is Jesus Christ, shall rise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. The phrase that pokes me in the eye when I read this text is the line, you shall leap like calves. Now, I've not been around cows much, but I have been a dog owner my whole life, and I know a certain golden retriever that expresses joy by leaping and hopping like a bunny, randomly, recklessly bumping into the wall. It's silly. 1949, C.S. Lewis wrote to Owen Barfield, and I love Lewis, he says, when you study any animal you know, what at once strikes you is their cheerful fatuity, the pointlessness of nearly all they do. Say what you like, Barfield, the world is sillier and better fun than they make out. My friends, the new kingdom, the new epoch, the new creation is sillier and better fun than they know. In the midst of gloom and nihilism and despair, we have glee and joy incomparable. The unofficial motto of the United States Marine Corps is no better friend, no worse enemy. And I have often considered that that motto well applies to God. And you indeed have crossed over from that status of enemy to the status of friend. I suppose God would Facebook you. You've been made friends of God. And we talk about the great exchange that took place on the cross, where an innocent man paid the penalty of the sin of the world. The righteousness of Christ was exchanged for the wickedness of man. And that is a real transaction. It is no mere legal fiction or turn of phrase. When you gaze upon the form of Jesus dying, know that there hung the most perverted fornicator, the most pathological liar, the greediest scoundrel the world has ever known. It had to be that way. He who knew no sin became sin for us. If the accounting of God's righteousness to men is to be something more than a legal fiction, the promise of resurrection and glorification must be included in the judge's pardon. We are not merely innocent. We become innocence itself. In Jesus' name, amen.